Please be seated. Judy Kennison will come and read our gospel reading.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus.
This is Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. The story most of us know best, which we will read again, we will read on Christmas Eve, and actually in this book, we read part of it next Sunday, is from Luke. Luke tells Mary's side of this story, but Matthew's the only one who tells Joseph's side. And in this first chapter, Matthew is the only place we hear any of that. Now, as you heard me having some fun with the kids about this story, part of what I love about these birth stories in Matthew and Luke is that they remind us that God's work among us is very earthy. You know? God likes pregnancies. God gets into messy situations working among us and doesn't seem fazed by things that might upset people with a little more propriety. I'm reminded, if you'll allow me to tell it, when our son was about 4 or 5, we were at a young couple's home for a housewarming they were having, and she was about 8 months pregnant. Now, both of our kids were adopted, so perhaps the how do babies come, and they knew their birth mothers. So the questions about where do babies come from may have come up a little early at my home, I'm not sure. But it registered with Luke, that our son, that this woman was pregnant. So he looked at her and said, "So you had sex." One of my favorite moments from his childhood. She was a first grade teacher and shouldn't have been able to handle it better than she did. She was totally flustered. You know, you're not supposed to talk. And I said, so I pulled him aside and said, "Luke, some grown-ups are really funny about talking to kids about these things, but yes, that's how you get pregnant. She had sex." Of course, as we talked about last week, there are those of among us, for obvious reasons, that have our skepticisms about how Mary could have gotten pregnant without having sex. So wherever you land on the literal to metaphorical end of hearing these stories, I hope you will at least allow that it's interesting that this backstory of Jesus the man, these backstories are very earthy, very real life issues that Mary and Joseph wrestle with and their families. And it did strike me this week that isn't it interesting that both these accounts seem to certainly allow for the fact that there were some questions about who Jesus' father was. Interesting. Joseph and Mary were engaged, and in that day, in that culture, that meant they were committed. This was not just we've pledged our love to each other. This was their two families were bound in a basically a legal contract that this son and daughter of these two families were going to be married. And it was simply the engagement or betrothal was the first stage, and then sometime later you actually had the wedding and they began to live together. So they were engaged, and then it was found that she was with child. She said she had done nothing wrong. She claimed it was from God. We can only imagine her family's reaction and Joseph's and his family's reaction. What must Joseph have thought and felt? Betrayed, hurt, angry. According to Jewish law, he had two choices. He could publicly condemn her and basically allow her to be stoned for adultery, or he could divorce her quietly, or divorce her. So you can see Joseph's he's a problem solver. He has this incredible problem on his hands, and he's trying to figure out what he should do. And it says he's a righteous man. He's a good guy. He's trying to do the right thing in an incredibly difficult situation with no good options. So he finally resolves, okay, my only choice seems to be to divorce her quietly. And having finally decided what he's going to have to do, he's able to go to sleep. And in his sleep, an angel of God came to him. In his dream, God was able to speak to him and break through his human, I've got to just figure this out, to offer an impossible possibility that he could not imagine while he was awake. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for this child is from God. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, which means God saves. Can you imagine what Joseph thought when he woke up? I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time remembering my dreams, but I think this is the kind you would remember. But he woke up and it's like, okay, that was a dream. Can I trust it? Was it real? Was that really an angel? I mean, can you imagine the swirl of thoughts and feelings going on in him? Mary, according to the story, had Gabriel show up while she's awake. Joseph gets a dream. Of course, Matthew's partly reminding of us of that first Joseph in Genesis, who God spoke to through multiple dreams. Joseph chose to trust in his dream. He chose to be faithful to this mysterious message. Matthew tells us that Joseph woke up and did what the angel had told him. No songs of praise, no prophetic words. Joseph was a man of action. He'd made a plan. He let go of his plan. He accepted whatever it was that God was doing, and he acted on it. He took Mary for his wife. She had a son, and they named him Jesus. God saves. Joseph was a righteous man, Matthew says. But it's interesting to realize that in this conundrum that he was in, the two choices that righteous tradition, the law, gave him were both painful, hurtful choices that broke things, ended the relationship. And God's choice, God's possibility, was a righteousness that was a righteousness of disobeying the law. Sometimes the right thing to do is not what the law says, right? Sometimes the right thing to do is not to stick with tradition, not to stick with the rules, not to stick with the norms of what we ought to do, to break through old customs and dare to do something new and different. Mark Davis writes that Joseph was called to embrace her pregnancy, which means, among other things, to follow God by not following the law. To follow God into the uncharted territory of faith and love. How often do we find ourselves called to follow Joseph into that kind of living? To choose forgiveness over judgment? To faith instead of certainty? To risk instead of doing what we've always done? You know that old joke, the seven last words of the church? We've never done it that way before. That's how churches die, right? So even as a community, we keep having those times that happen, and we may well be in one now with all the uncertainty of what's coming in our country and in our world, that we may be called upon to find new ways of being faithful, and we don't know what those may be. They may call us to be righteous by not following some laws. When I was deciding what I wanted to say today, I did what I sometimes do, which is I go digging around on my computer to see what I said about this in the past. I never want to preach the same sermon, so partly I'm trying to make sure I don't completely repeat myself, although I'm not really worried that you're going to remember what I said 5 years ago. But it can be inspiring, and I kind of feel like sometimes I do like a jazz riff on an old sermon, and this is sort of a riff today, I admit. But what struck me when I found this particular one yesterday or the day before was it was from December of 2019. And I thought, wow, that Advent, we had no idea what was getting ready to come, right? We were just going along, doing along, December of 2019. But COVID-19 was already starting to do its little thing over there in China. And less than 3 months later, we were all on Zoom. The surprises that happen in our lives, sometimes from God, sometimes from just life and what life does, sometimes from some kind of a weird combination in between. Faith calls us to dare to believe God's in the middle of it all. That we are not thrown with something that somehow we are abandoned in the middle of. God is always with us, Emmanuel, God with us, even in the most unexpected, disruptive things that can possibly happen in our personal lives, in our larger lives. I'm convinced that right now, part of what's going on in our country, in our world, is still unprocessed grief and fear and anxiety and turmoil and economic upset, still the fallout from the pandemic. It's still playing itself out in multiple ways among us. But, I am so grateful to say that as people of faith in this community, we can look back and say, God really was with us through that. Do you remember the fact that in January of 2020, this is just fun to remind ourselves. In January of 2020, because Rich Barron had to drive in a long way for a trustee meeting because Biz wanted to still stay on trustees, but she was home with Cooper and sometimes it was hard to get here. And Farrell said, well, at my hospital, we've started trying to have meetings with Zoom. So we got a Zoom account and a little camera in January of 2020. And it helped us be ready for what we had no idea was coming. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm also grateful that that one weird Sunday in March, when we first went on to Zoom and about half of us were here and half of us were trying Zoom, and then the next week we were shut down completely, that after worship that Sunday, somehow we had the sense to say, let's talk about how we're going to take care of each other. how we're going to stay connected to each other if we do get shut down. And maybe it was those core values we'd just been working on, to be nurturing and inclusive. God is always working to try to help us deal with what's coming that we cannot see. But we've got to be open, and we've got to respond, and we've got to trust that we will not be destroyed by whatever comes, and that God is always at work for good in the midst of whatever happens. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what's coming this January. Do not be afraid. God is with us, always Emmanuel, always present. Amen.